Let's look at redemption this morning as part of new creation realities. Now, I have got notes on this, and maybe right at the start, perhaps we could have a couple of people please to distribute those notes around. We're not going to be stayed to the notes. The notes are there for you to have a look at afterwards. You can have a look at them now, by all means. But, really, we want to have a look at those in the main after. And they provide excellent study notes on this subject. God is able to establish believers in the faith according to his plan of redemption. So after the fall in the Garden of Eden, God spoke and outlined that plan which reached fulfillment through the new covenant, the truth of Jesus Christ. And Satan has been completely defeated through Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Praise God. You know, the truth is this. Yes, we've got grace. Yes, when we're saved, God's not looking at us now in judgment. Positionally, right now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Where does God live? Well, I asked someone yesterday and they said heaven. Well, okay. But we need to get an understanding that God's address, where is God's address? It's right there inside of you. Right there inside of you. That's his address. That's where he lives. Inside of every born again believer. And we need to accept that and live in the reality of that. And what's happened is this. For far too long, the church has lived with a weak attitude towards the scripture. So this is what usually happens in churches. Usually what happens is we get the Bible and then we study the Bible. Or we read about the text, we read about the context, we read about the historical information, we have higher and lower criticism, all these things trying to get us to understand what the text is saying. The problem is this. You can do that for all your life, and it never becomes personal. The text is just a pointer to that which should be personal, living inside of us. And very often, you know, for people, the scriptures, the Bible, is a book that's read at a distance. And it's, well, it's interesting. Oh, that's an interesting point. Let's discuss that. No! It's not an interesting point to discuss. It's the truth revealed by God and should be applied to my life. It's his truth for my life. We can discuss it. Of course we can. But not at a distance. It must be appropriated by us as our truth. As for us. But so often, it's something that happened in history. Oh, well, it's something that pertains to someone else. Oh, well, you know, it's a nice, no, it pertains to me. You see, there's a great difference, isn't there, in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. You know, if you had, there was a thing yesterday, some famous singer, you know, pop singer, and all these fans really, enjoy this singer, and they celebrate the singer. And then there was someone who really knew the singer. And you got a really different picture from the one who really knew the singer as to what the fans were telling you about, you know, what they felt. They knew at a distance, but this one knew up close. You see, when you know at a distance, and I'm going to tell you, here's a test that you can do right now to see if you're knowing the Bible at a distance or whether you're knowing the Bible up close right now this morning. Shall we do the test? I said there's a test. Shall we do it?
Yes.
The test is this. If when you're reading the scriptures, you're not getting excited, then there's too much distance between you and the word. But if when you read these scriptures, you start to get excited and the joy of the Lord starts to manifest in you, then you're understanding what the scriptures are saying. You can't read the New Testament and really study it without getting excited about what it means. This is a new life, abundant life, life of power and victory. This is the glorious life. Hallelujah! Makes me want to shout with joy and happiness. But I'm not going to get emotional. I'll just keep it calm. So, because I can put people off if I get too emotional. It's better if I just stay calm. But when I get home, maybe in my bedroom, I'll be... It makes me excited. So, there's grace. But 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Well, the victory is ours, but we need to resist the devil and yield to God, to the spirit life, in other words. And it says in Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, "I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." So what happens is, the more into this word that we get, the more word we take in. And by the way, this isn't, you can't get this, what I'm talking about, by reading, you know, a couple of verses in the morning and then just a couple of verses at night, and that's nice, isn't it? And, you know, yet no, that's not the way we appropriate what I'm talking about this morning. The only way to appropriate what I'm talking about this morning is to really be in the word every day and every hour of every day, thinking about the word, meditating on the word, having the word, a word-focused mindset. That's how we start to appropriate this truth of who we really are as new creations in him. It doesn't happen with a light commitment. It happens with a strong commitment. Jesus says this, and it's a question, "If my words abide, if my words abide, if my words live in you." The word has to live in you. And then when the word is living in you, happy you shall be. But it's got to live in you. And that's about walking in the spirit, not walking in the flesh. Amen? Having that spirit-led life. Well, it's an amazing world that we're living in now. Because if I get my phone, I've got all the Bible translations on my phone. I've got Strong's Concordance. I've got all the Greek translations on my phone. I've got the Hebrew on my phone. Everything is on my phone. It's an amazing thing. This phone can be tremendous. Or you can waste your time. I'm now going to the shop and having a cup of tea, and I'm going to, you know, all that nonsense. or we could be really doing something useful with the phones and really appropriating God's truth. Now, every day you're going to spend 24 hours. You've got 24 hours a day, you're going to spend it somehow. How are you spending it? Well, we're careful about how we spend money, aren't we? I tell you what, time is a far more precious commodity than money. Money can come and go, but time. Interestingly, you know, the two are related in the Greek, very closely, time and money. But time, in the etymology, but time is the greatest commodity. We have a limited amount of time. And so spending it is key. So I would counsel to spend it as much as possible using the modern conveniences that we have to get that word in, to really be meditating on the word, getting the word in, using it. If you're blessed with having a longer car journey to church than some, treat it as a blessing. Great, more time to get in the word en route. Point number one, the plan of redemption called for an incarnation, the union of divinity with the humanity. And that happened, of course, in our Lord Jesus Christ. Man was the key figure in the fall. Therefore, it took man, Jesus, to be the key figure in the redemption of man. We were born into this world, ruled by Satan. We did not naturally know God. Therefore, the objective of the incarnation is that men may be given the right to become children of God, men and women becoming children of God through this redemption and receiving the nature of God. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe, those who believe. We believe this morning? Praise God. And in John 1, it says in 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So God willed that we would be born of him. Well then, if God willed that we be born of him, and we're born of him now, we've been born under his will, born again, and that born again is, in the Greek, you know, it's beautiful, it's metamorphosized. We know that word, metamorphosized, transformed from one species of being into another different species of being. And the trouble is this, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ seems to be spending a lot of the time trying to be just like the other species of being. I'm not going to try and be like that species of being. I'm a different species of being. So are you if you're born again. You ought to be glad that you're a different species of being. And you ought to be showy about being a different species of being. We think different. We talk different. I'm completely different to them. I'm now a new creation. And new creation realities is about who I am now as a different species of being. My Bible tells me this. I'm so different as a different species of being. My words are different to their words. My words carry power. My words carry authority. My words, I can speak to mountains. I can move things just with my words because I'm a son of God. That's who I am. I'm different, really different. And I'll tell you this as well. Don't presume just because you're in the church with me that you can get really close and know me. You may not know me. I may shock you. Because I'm a different species of being. And I tell you what, God wants us to have that in each one of us. There's a robustness that comes when you know who you are in Christ. And you don't think like the world thinks. You don't operate as the world operates. You're completely different. And you're not afraid of being different. What you find in the church so often these days, because they've let the word drift from their minds, they're not really in the word. They're not of the word, therefore. What happens is they just now want to be like the world. Oh, we just want to relate. We just like you. Oh, let's all do charitable deeds now. Oh, yeah, let's all be involved in charity, because then they'll like us then. Huh. We've seen where that's led certain denominations. No, my friends. We are involved in charity because we love. God is in us and we love people. We want the best of people, whether they're in the church or not. We walk in love. But it's not charity first. It's the word first. And it's the leading of the Holy Spirit that causes us to do those things after. But not that we'll get favor with them, but that we'll be yielded to the Holy Spirit and what he's telling us to do. Amen? There's a vast difference between those two. I mean, it's night and day. And redemption, you see, comes from knowledge. God's divine power has already provided everything that pertains to life and godliness for us. You can escape from the corruption in the world and partake of the divine nature of God. And you can have peace and grace multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It says this from 2 Peter. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. You see, most people read that and it just, oh yeah, we're going to be partakers of the divine nature. Yeah, and they read it at a distance. They don't demand of themselves, I am a partaker of the divine nature. I'm not just a man. I've got God in me. God lives in me. You want to know God's address? Stephen Lane Evans. And say it with conviction. That's where God lives. Hallelujah. And he lives in you. Say your name. God lives. That's God's address in you. You see, this is the point. Unless we recognize these words that the scripture is saying to us with this level of integrity, we might as well not bother reading it all. Because otherwise, it's just dead religion. I'm telling you the truth, it's dead religion. Unless you take it on board, it's dead religion. People say, oh, I don't want to be religious. Well, you are religious if you're reading this and you're not taking it on board. If you're taking it on board, then you're involved in new creation realities. We've got to be involved in new creation realities to really understand and walk in integrity with the word. You can't read that and just read it at a distance. That must press in on you. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, the world is aching for people like this. This is one of the hypocrisies in the church, okay? Churches have prayer meetings. Oh, Lord, send revival, send revival. And the Lord is saying to those people crowded in their little room praying for the revival who aren't listening to God at all, the Lord is saying, I've told you in my word. And you're not listening. The communion that we took was cut with his blood. It's a covenant established by blood, revealed in his word. What good is it by saying, oh, that's all we want is your will, and then ignoring his word? It's hypocrisy of the highest order. Oh, Lord, I just want to follow Jesus. Well, do you study his word? I'm busy. Oh. Oh, please. Wake up, Christians. Let's be who God's called us to be. I tell you what, he's put in us stuff that'll change the world. This isn't weak. This is divine. What gets me happy? There'll be some shouting in the bedroom later. I'm keeping calm now, though. I'm keeping calm. Keep calm, Steve. Keep calm. Don't lose the people. This stuff makes me happy. Let's read this fully from 2 Peter 1:4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Anyone unsure that the Bible doesn't apply today? The corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, I'm so happy about the grace of God. It's no longer my behavior that makes me right before God. Because I mess up, you know. I mess up, and we all mess up, don't we? We all mess up. I'm not trying to prove myself to God through my behavior. And when I mess up, I look to God and I say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm right before God because of Jesus' finished work. And, you know, look to the devil and have a, ha ha. I like doing that. I just say it out loud. Ha ha, Mr. Devil. Jesus paid the price for me in full. And hallelujah. If I mess up, I'm just going to look to Jesus and I'll use it as a refresher course in Jesus and what he paid for me. Praise God. We all mess up. But here's another point that sometimes people forget. I really don't want to mess up. You see, people say, oh, it's a license to sin. No way. Because I don't want to mess up. I don't like sinning. I have no interest in it. I don't want to sin. I want to live clean and right before God. But should I sin, then I know exactly what to do, you see. But this tells me, and being in the Word shapes us, and this causes us not to want to. Why would you choose a lesser thing? Once you understand the riches of his grace, well, you don't want to walk any other way. You want to walk in this. Why would you want to live an impoverished life when you have this life as a potential? Oh, glory. All this is there for us, but we've got to receive it. And this, dear brothers and sisters, is an issue for some people. Receiving it. What's the number one issue of receiving? Well, there's several issues, really. I would say this, though, that unless we're really studying the Word, we'll never receive this. So the only way to receive this is to be studying, make a commitment to study the Word. That's why I believe it's important, for example, that we daily are really in this Word. listening to some people as well who are preaching the word, the proper preaching of the word, word-based. And I'm not talking about people, you know, there's a whole school of people, an entire school, network, huge all over the world, of people who call it preaching the word, but what they're actually doing is they're using the Bible, they're talking from the Bible, and then they're telling you why this basically can't come true today. And they're reinterpreting this and saying, oh, well, now, you know, what you've got to do is... They call themselves preachers. There's a school, there's cessationists, for example. There's one group. There's plenty of them. But the cessationists, that the gifts, ceased with the apostolic age. Pure fantasy. But they've got some excellent sounding preachers with big ministries. And usually what they do is they try and pull down other ministries and criticize other ministries, you know. That's how you can spot them. They spend all their... In fact, they gain their reputation not by building churches, not by establishing great works of the kingdom, not by what God has done through, just by criticizing other people. I mean, that's their whole life. You know, that's how they gain their reputations. They write their books and things. But they're living in fantasy land. That's a fantasy land. And what they're doing is they're undermining God, because it doesn't say that in the Word. The Word says something else. But you know what the difficulty for them is this. Because they can't do it and they can't understand it, they say it can't be so. Well, the whole point is we can't understand it and we can't do it. We are dependent on Him. And that's why we have to spend time in prayer. And that's why we have to fellowship with Him. And we have to live with Him. And we have to be simple. Jesus said it so easily, didn't He? He said, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. And what's a little child like? Well, they just believe. Jesus is talking about belief in the Word. Little children just believe. You know, if I said to Sam or Macy, we're going now, and we're going to go and so, we're going to... They just believe. They know that they accept and believe. God wants us to be like that with His Word. He wants us to be in the Word and accept it and believe it, not questioning it. There was a group of Jews, you know, mentioned in the book of Acts. They were well-respected. The Berians, because they searched the scriptures to see if these things were true, not to see if these things were false, not to pick these things apart, not to criticize, not to undermine, but to search the scriptures to see if these things are true. And when they found they were true, they went with them. So we've got to be of that ilk, believing, entering into the scriptures, believing. But this is the thing. This is revelation knowledge. It's not sense knowledge. Doctrines, philosophies, and creeds. This is the problem with them. Doctrines, philosophies, and creeds are limited. Even if we say the creeds, you know, yes, we sort of understand what they mean. But what does that do in reality? In the person's day-to-day walk, very little. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who's leading us. It's the life of the Holy Spirit that now we need to yield to. Doctrines and creeds are okay, you know. I suppose that, you know, then they're helpful to some degree. Of course they are. They set a little framework, but nothing compared to the Holy Spirit and Him teaching us and leading us from within. Amen. So one is sensory knowledge, the creeds, etc. That's sensory knowledge. The other is revelation knowledge. So I just know the other through revelation. So there's a difference, you see, between just reading the word and having an academic understanding of what it says, and then allowing that word to dwell in me so that it becomes living. It's a living word, and now it reveals to me the truth, how I can apply that truth to my life. That's what we need. We need that word to be so real that we can apply it then to our lives. Otherwise, what's happening is we're living in religious fantasy land. Just dead religion. Boring, dead religion. I'm not interested in it, are you? I'm not interested in it, Mark. You're not interested in it, are you? It's boring. I want this life. We want to see people come to the Lord, don't we? Don't we, Raj? We want to see people come to the Lord. Gosh, and we're hungry to see people come to Jesus. This is the root for that. This is the root. So allowing that word to sink in, and then that word then, it reveals to us what we need to do next, what we should, it becomes a reality to us. Revelation, reality. Now that's exciting. But that's why it's so vital to have this. And by the way, this is a process. This isn't this is something that goes daily by daily by daily by daily by daily. We make a commitment, and one day in our life, it's the start of the rest of our lives. Today is the start of the rest of our lives, isn't it? You make a commitment today. If you stick to the commitment, in 5 years' time, life would be totally different. In 1 year's time, it will be totally different. In 6 months, it will be totally different. The amazing thing with God is this. When you really put God's word in first place, I tell you, it doesn't take too long. The graph with God, it goes like this. You commit to that word, you commit to the word, you're going uphill in terms of spiritual awareness, spiritual development, and then it reaches a point where it goes like that. Because God is with us. He's for us. And when we make when we deposit our investment of time into Him and what He's called us to, He backs us up. And He's fully committed to us. The problem has been we've not been fully committed to Him. So we've got a choice to make to be fully committed. And when we get fully committed to Him, every day, committed to the Scriptures, then what happens is the call and the anointing of God that's in each one of us. Each believer is anointed in God. We know that, don't we? Each believer has the call of God on their lives. Each believer is gifted with God. Listen, He knows the number of hairs on your head. That what that's saying is this. All of you, He's aware of all of it. All the details, He understands every little detail. He's gifted you. Your family may not think you're special and important. Your friends may not think you're special and important. I want to tell you, God thinks you're very, very special, and you are very, very important. And He has a plan for you as a kingdom ambassador. And that's the truth. The thing is this, we have to yield to that plan, and we yield to it by taking His word in a commitment to really believe what it says. So let's go, for example, to James. Let's go to the book of James, and let's read from James 3. What a mighty God we serve. It says this from verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hallelujah. Revelation knowledge is literally knowledge brought to you by God's revelation, which is always in tune with his word. You know, brothers and sisters, I want us to pray now. I'm not going to go into points 3 and 4 this morning, 3, 4, and 5. I'm going to go into those this evening. And so we'll spend more time this evening. If you can make this evening service, we'll look at those points then. But for now, please, let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Father. What a mighty... Let's just sing it out. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Bev, come up, please. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. A joy that knows no limits. A lightness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. And I will praise you, Lord. Yes, I will praise you, Lord. And I will sing of all that you have done. Oh, Father God, a joy that knows no limits, a lightness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. Hallelujah! Oh, glory! Let's sing it, Bev. Let's sing it, everyone. And then we're going to pray.